from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Time to talk some football with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. He is at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. He is on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Mike, we learned a little something on Instagram recently that you and Caleb Williams have a Lego hobby in common. He seems to be really into it. He was showing off his Heisman Trophy was in between the Avengers Tower and the Disney castle that had like Beauty and the Beast in it and everything.
Well, at least he actually makes his. I'm still stuck on this typewriter to the point where I've forgotten where I put the extra bags, which is not a good sign for ever getting it done. And George Kittle on the Receiver Show this summer, he gets a lot of the sets. They just put the boxes in a closet and he never actually builds them.
There's some sort of character metaphor there with George Kittle.
That's not a hobby. Buying things and putting them in a closet is technically not a hobby.
Well, it is. It's called hoarding.
Yeah, hoarding. Yeah.
Collecting. I'll defend him on that one. But what you're saying is George Kittle has your Lego parts?
He might. I need to check to see if his closet has my typewriter box with all the bags in it.
At least you know where to go. Okay, so I know you haven't, I know that you may have not caught up yet on the last episode of Hard Knocks, but for those who don't know, what do you think the likelihood was of a team trading somewhere between a 4th and 6th, 7th round pick for Velus Jones Jr.? If you had to just handicap that part of it, what would you say?
When you consider how tightly the Bears controlled this season of Hard Knocks, the only reasonable conclusion is they want to trade him. They put that in there to try to spark a market to the extent that there might not be one, in the hopes that they can make something happen. Because otherwise, that would have ended up on the cutting room floor with all the profanity and anything else that they didn't want to be part of the show. So when a team exercises that much control, anything that gets in, we have to look at it and say, they wanted that out there. Why did they want it out there?
I think it's interesting, too, like when we look at this, like the mosaic of what this Hard Knocks experience was for the Bears. I wonder if we'll find out that they softened, because the episodes got better as the 5 weeks went along. And the first two were so bad that I wonder if they heard it from, whether it was the folks at HBO and Max or other people around the league being like, guys, I know that you didn't want to do this, but it really feels like you don't want to do this.
Yeah, it does get to a point where it's worthless. And that was my take on the first two episodes. It was completely and totally worthless. And there very easily could be political maneuverings where the people from Max and NFL Films go to someone with the league and say, would you please tell George McCaskey to allow us to make this at least moderately interesting, that they're are things we can include that won't embarrass anyone and that won't give away any secrets. And, you know, maybe we should should include a shucks or a darn or a heck in there somewhere to just make it somewhat realistic.
That's how I felt about it just watching. But then again, I worried that I was too close to it. Was that some of the sentiment outside of Chicago, was that it was not that entertaining and very sterilized?
When the best line, which in hindsight I'm surprised it made it in, was Tyson Bagent talking to the backup quarterback they cut, Brett Rypien, about who he shares a birthday with. And Rypien says O.J. Simpson and Tom Hanks, and Bagent says, "You should always say it in that order." That's a pretty low bar for how entertaining the episode is. Although that was a pretty good line, that's the only thing that stood out.
Mike, have you heard any, what are you hearing about Brazil? What's real and what's imagined about the NFL's experience down there?
Well, look, the NFL is trying to export its product so that the virus that we have all been infected by for decades will ultimately spread into these other countries. And it's a long-term plan, like a 100-year plan. And more countries get games. It creates, in theory, more consumers, more excitement. It's a finite product. You can't, well, they're going to try to increase the inventory, but if you can increase the consumer base, you make a hell of a lot more money, which is what they're trying to do. And I hope the people in Brazil realize the quality of the game they're getting. I mean, we have been sending turd after turd, pardon me, to London for the past 17 years. They're getting one of the best games of the season right out of the gates for the first time ever in Brazil. So I hope that the people there appreciate it. I know that some Eagles players aren't thrilled about going. I haven't heard much chatter from the Packers. It makes me wonder whether or not the Packers are going to be more prepared for this and more willing and more all in than some of the Eagle players will be.
Have you heard anything about reporters being angry too? Because there's a thing going on with X in Brazil as well.
Well, if X is still banned, and as of last Friday it was, and I've kind of lost track of it because things have gotten hectic since then, but if you can't post on X, unless you use a VPN and risk a $9,000 a day fine, it's not going to be the same real-time experience for the reporters, for fans, for anyone who hopes to post real-time observations, photos, video from the game. And it puts, I think, more weight on, you know, what, and this isn't an ad for Peacock, but you got to watch the game on Peacock because you're not going to be able to scroll through social media and see what's going on.
Mike, I've realized that I've read more thought pieces about Tom Brady's broadcasting than I've read about what Tom Brady's actual thoughts on football are. My concern is that we're getting into a metaverse here almost, where we're going to be watching a football game, but watching Tom Brady watch a football game. I don't know that I have the bandwidth to do that, so I will leave it to experts like you to do things like that. But it just seems like his own work is going to be as hyper-focused as the cameras are in the game.
They've welcomed that. They welcome that. When the schedule was announced in May, the first game he's going to work, he got top billing over the two teams, the Cowboys and the Browns. And I was watching one of the Fox college games, and when they came back from break and they're doing their internal pitch for their other shows that they want you to watch, Gus Johnson says, "History is going to be made when Tom Brady calls his first game." It's like, give me a break. It's about the game. It's not about the broadcaster. And that's the part of it that I don't really like. And you throw in this wrinkle where the NFL is dramatically reducing his access because he's trying to buy a piece of the Raiders. I wonder how all that plays out. And I think what the NFL did is a message to Tom Brady that whenever it's time to vote on him officially acquiring a piece of the Raiders, there's a pretty good chance at least nine of them are going to say no. Because do you really think Tom Brady's not going to get what he needs? Do you really think he's not going to communicate with people that he's not supposed to communicate with? I mean, in all seriousness, he's going to call people that in theory he's not supposed to be talking to, and he's going to get what he needs so he can do the broadcast in a positive way. And I think they're trying to get him to pick a lane here. He might not do it, and they might ultimately have to just say no when it's time for that ownership bid to be voted on by the 32.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Boner.
I just think it's going to boomerang on him. I really do. If they're trying to make it about watching Tom Brady and we're tuning in, if he's good at his job, we won't necessarily notice him. If he's good, we're not going to say, hey, what was that with Brady? Get out of my way. Tell me what's going on. Make me smarter. Don't make me dumber. And help me understand if you have a good story to tell. But you know what the job is. But I think it's unfair to him then to say, hey, you can't just concentrate on learning to do something you've never done before, that you have to be, you yourself have to be appointment television. That's a recipe for disaster.
And he's going to struggle with being critical of players. And I think he's trying to stake out a sweet spot where he doesn't criticize players directly. He criticizes, and this was a quote that he offered up recently that I still don't understand what he was saying, but basically criticizes the coaching of today's quarterbacks. There isn't the same focus on understanding the nuances of a system, and it puts these guys in a tough spot because he understands that if he starts calling guys out and saying that guy sucks or this guy sucks, he's going to have a lot of people who are upset with him. So that's where he's going to have to suppress his feelings. And he said years ago when he got Sportsman of the Year, 2020, he told Sports Illustrated, I envision retiring and watching games and saying these guys suck. I can play better than them right now. It would be a great broadcast if he would say it. There's no way he's going to say that.
That just sounds like everybody who listens to our station. I don't know how that's any different. And I say that lovingly. I also think that I want Gus Johnson to announce my Tuesday just to make it more interesting. Just my two cents on it. But I will ask you this, Mike. Switching gears and talking about a story that I think deserves some real attention on your site right now. Stefon Diggs talking about last season and how he said that was the worst mental space of his NFL career. What were your takeaways from this?
It doesn't surprise me because when the Bills had their mandatory minicamp last year, Coach Sean McDermott made a comment that suggested very strongly that Stephon Diggs was there and that he essentially stormed out and they were concerned that he was no longer there. Well, the truth was there was some sort of an argument and they told him to leave, which is a very different vibe. The whole thing seemed dysfunctional. I thought they should just trade him then and there. The cap result ended up being the same because they traded him this year before June 1. If they would have traded him last year after June 1, it would have been the same outcome under the cap. They should have just done it. He had 620 receiving yards the first six games and then kind of fell off the map. And you just wonder what the truth is behind the scenes. And he's very careful to say he'll never talk about the specifics with the Bills or with the Vikings. He suggested he wanted things to shake out the way they did. He tweeted his way out of Minnesota the same day Kirk Cousins got his first extension with the Vikings. So he has done a good job of engineering his career. The problem is when you do it twice, and I think Tyreek Hill is very sensitive to this. He wants to stay in Miami because when you get traded that second time, that's when people start looking at the player, not the team. And now that that's happened to Stephon Diggs, you know, there's a truth that we'll probably never hear, but the reality is, a lot of people are looking at him and wondering how much of the problem he was both in Minnesota and in Buffalo.
Is anyone in a better position from a negotiating standpoint than Dak Prescott right now?
Oh, it's perfect. And, you know, the best deals I've ever done, specifically when I buy a car, is when I get myself to the point where I no longer want the car. Once I convince myself and the salesperson I no longer want the car, all of a sudden I get the deal I was looking for. And the problem is, I got to talk myself back into the car again because I legitimately got to the point where I didn't want the car. And I feel like that's where Zach is getting. Seriously, that's happened.
That sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm bit where it's like, true. You know what I mean? Like you walk in, it's like you hand the fantasy of handing the guy your business card. It's like, I want this car for this price. If you can do this price, call me. And you walk out and then you're like, yeah, I don't think I really want that car. And then the guy calls you and goes, yes, deal.
Yeah. And I feel like Dak is there. I feel like Dak accepts the fact that he's going to become a free agent, that someone is going to offer him significantly more than the Cowboys, and he's going to change teams. And I think at one level, the Cowboys love it because the Cowboys love it when people are talking about the Cowboys. But this could be biggest free agent since Reggie White. Now, Tom Brady, yes, and Peyton Manning, yes, but they were both older and Manning was damaged goods. This is guy still in his prime, hitting free agency with no way for the Cowboys to stop it from happening. And all it takes is one team. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. You can say we're not doing it. Okay, 31 teams can say we're not doing it. All it takes is one team to say, you know what, we got to spend this money anyway. Let's go get Dak Prescott. It makes us relevant. We sell tickets. We'll get more primetime games. Who cares if we win a Super Bowl? This is about making money. There's going to be, there was one team that gave Deshaun Watson that horrible 5-year fully guaranteed contract. People are talking $60 million a year for Dak. Would it be crazy if someone paid him 65 or 70? I don't think it would be crazy because there are teams out there that are desperate to find a quarterback who will make them relevant. And Dak, he might not win a Super Bowl, but he'll make you relevant. And all the irrelevant teams would love to be relevant.
Mike, there was a joke in Dallas that if Jerry could somehow draft Kenny Chesney, he would, because he knew it would sell out the stadium every week.
Hey, it's true. Look, I've figured out Jerry this year. I don't think that he really wants to win Super Bowls the way that he claims. I think he knows that's part of the grift. He's a carnival barker, and he knows there's a sucker born every minute, and he's trying to fill his stadium with them. As long as the stadium's full and they're buying overpriced popcorn and beer and everything else, and they're getting their 6 or 7 primetime games and they're still America's team, that's what matters to him, I think, more than anything else. His testimony from the Sunday Ticket trial really crystallized that for me. He understands this is about being interesting. And you can't control how good you are, but you can control how interesting you are. And he thrives and relishes every opportunity for his team to be interesting. And look at what he's done. They haven't been to an NFC championship for 29 years. And his team is still the one that every network clamors to put on the air. NBC would put the Cowboys on every week if they could. And I'm sure every other network feels the same way.
While we're talking about cars, you still have the Alfa Romeo?
No, that was the first one that I convinced myself I didn't want to buy. And I traded it for an Audi RS7 3 years ago. And I got the deal I wanted after I convinced myself I didn't want to buy it.
Now, you don't own a boat, do you?
No, God, no.
Okay. All right.
You think a man who could talk himself out of a car owns the most inefficient vehicle in the world?
That was going to be sort of a defining data point for me. Because boat ownership is like the ultimate, I want to do this, I don't want to do this, I want to do this, fine, I did
when
it.
When does Mike have time to be on a boat?
What's the old line, like the second happiest day in a person's life is when they buy a boat and the happiest day is when they sell it?
Correct.
Yep. That's
fine. That sounds about right. Mike, you're the best. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.